Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. Welcome back again. And yes, I am Irish. So this is a video which I'm going to be discussing someone I'd never heard of till a few days ago called DT Occasional and his YouTube channel. Now, it crossed my mind this is possibly not worth even bothering with because he only had 10 subscribers. I don't say that to be demeaning. Everybody's got to start somewhere. I had only 10 subscribers. Could be an outstanding channel, have very few subscribers. It could be someone who can produce absolute tripe and have millions of subscribers. So I'm always someone who's into quality and not quantity and not just crowd-pleasing efforts. I'm sort of someone who believes in ars gratia artis. Anyway, so such drollery. Well, I've really got to hand to someone when he achieves hilarity, even though that was unsought, that effect. So I try to be complimentary about him occasionally. Well, it was a slightly entertaining. I mean, all right, there were places where we agreed. This chap, he said that Ireland was very civilized, and indeed it certainly was in the Dark Ages, how we kept the lamp of education burning. There's that book, How the Irish Say Civilization, The Islands of Saints and Scholars. So he produced many outstanding intellectuals who've got several Nobel Prizes. I've long said that we're a cultural superpower in terms of our music, dance, film industry, all sorts. And obviously sporting accomplishments in rugby, like sort of fifth in the world or something. And then, he said that Russia is not a major threat to Ireland. And in that, he is correct. Nor is any power in the Middle East much of a threat to Ireland, or maybe any threat whatsoever to Ireland. I mean, that's true. I've never heard of anyone in the Middle East vocalize the least hostility towards Ireland. But then we come conversely to his curious idea that I pose some existential threat. Me, I'm a greater threat than Russia or something to Ireland, which is just hilarious again. I notice DT's attitude is really all about splitting, you know, into black and white, this sort of thinking. So this may be his cognitive debility. He's decidedly Manichaean. And it's really very infantile to be categorical. So I don't think that's all ad personam, and I don't want to get too much into that. I'd rather dismantle some of the substantive arguments that he's propounded, if a substantive argument is not an overgenerous expression in this case. I remember when I was a toddler being told never judge a book by its cover, and that has stayed with me. I grasp the notion that there can be a distinction to be drawn between appearance and reality. For instance, I'm wearing this New Zealand rugga shirt, as I often do. No, I'm not actually a Kiwi. I've never even been to New Zealand. And, well, it's fascinating to note, I'm more Irish than Eamon de Valera. I'm more Irish than, goodness, Patrick Pearce or Henry Pearce or whatever, maybe the brothers Boland, or all of these Republican terrorists who caused so much grief to Ireland. I mean, in a sense, more than Wolfe Tone, I'm more Irish than him. And all right, his ancestors had lived in Ireland for quite a few generations, so that's probably unfair. I know ethnicity is not everything. And if someone, you know, an ethnic minority Irish person, Hazel Chu, I completely accept she's as Irish as me. She has the absolute right to be in Ireland, could be president of Ireland, anything like that. But just because I speak and receive pronunciation, there are a lot of bigots and imbeciles out there who have the nerve to tell me I'm not Irish, as though someone else would know more about me than I do. So many ignoramuses have said that sort of thing to me. Anyway, so moving swiftly on. So let me summarize some of DT's wacko beliefs. Well, first of all, Ireland is inherently good. England is totally evil. Then that England is trying to take Ireland over now. The one about me not being Irish. Number four, he said that I'm a paid agent. That really is rich, if the pun is intended. It says that the Irish government is a puppet, claims that there was genocide in Ireland committed by the English. He says that Northern Ireland is occupied. He uses the expression occupational force. I think occupying force is the collocation he's looking for. He says that Scotland is similarly occupied. And lastly, he says that I'm trying to bully Irish nationalists. Bully, that was the word used. I mean, come on. Bully them how? By saying something? Me, little me. Do I come across as scary to you? Is he intimidated by me? I really don't think so. I sincerely hope not. I'm really not a frightening person. I can assure you I'm not dangerous. Are my arguments that petrifying? Really? I mean, I'm staggered. Is nationalism that feeble? Is it that brittle and cowardly? It could be scared by me, who just by expostulating my unionist views would really terrify people. Wow. I hadn't realized that it's just so pathetic. If honestly, people can be scared by me vocalizing my beliefs. But anyway, I digress. So, I mean, I know this chap's got a need for remedial English, but how the substantive arguments could still be valid despite that. He uses an awful lot of Anglo-Saxonisms like feck and shite, which does not lend point to his argumentation. I'm not against swear words and intensifiers have their place. I deploy them myself occasionally. But that tends not to correlate with intelligence or reason. So the illogicality of his arguments was, again, just hysterical. Perhaps cognitively subnormal, but such people can sometimes hit the mark, often if they're just repeating the argument of someone who's rational. And he said that I mimic the destruction of Ireland. That was his expression. Destruction of Ireland? No. Dissolution of the Republic. Ireland existed long before the Republic was even suggested. So yes, I am a reunionist. So yes, I would like Republic of Ireland us to dissolve ourselves and to rejoin the United Kingdom, and that could be accomplished in an entirely peaceful and democratic manner. I shan't bait my breath. It probably won't happen in my lifetime. Well, it definitely won't happen in my lifetime, and it may never transpire, but that's what I want. Well, you don't speak for Ireland, people say. Yeah, you know, I don't. I don't pretend to. I speak for me. I express my opinion. Whose opinion do you express? Your own, which might happen to accord with that of the majority. But, you know, there's a right to dissent. Let's pass on. So what did he was really enraged, livid. I mean, it just borderline hysterical the way he thought that I was trying to destroy Ireland by expressing my beliefs. Such derangement is sort of unhinged. And that's where he came out with his Looney Tunes views, which were unwittingly droll. Okay, so the dismantlement of these views shan't detain us. He claims there was a rigged referendum in Scotland. There was no evidentiary basis for his claim. And wait a second, the leader of the Scottish separation movement, that would be Alex Salmond, he accepted the validity of the outcome. Nicola Sturgeon has accepted the validity of the outcome. Hamza Yousafzai, the Scottish National Party in general, the ALBA Party, the Green Party in Scotland, they've all accepted this is a proper result. Obviously, there's an independent electoral commission in the United Kingdom. There are international organizations who monitor these elections and referenda, and none of them have said that there were any irregularities. No, it was a proper result. And as DT Occasional will tell such a blatant lie about something like that, it severely undermines his credibility on all other issues where, you know, we might have said there was some sort of grey area. So this really is just wishful thinking. If something is unwelcome to him, he's going to pretend it's untrue, just bury his head in the sand and thereby expose his thinking parts. All right. So anyway, he calls England the devil, predator. Those are both the words, devil and predator. That is racist. England, well, I mean, the English people are from England. There's a very little difference between England and the English. Wow. I mean, to demonize them, literally, as though they're demons. Now, there are bad English people, definitely. I mean, I've met a few of them. They're bad people in every country. I don't think they're proportionally more common in England than anywhere else. I'm not sure. Perhaps you could show me some data and prove that's the truth. But anyway, this really is preposterous and deeply distasteful. This is the kind of bigotry which did so much to contribute to the Troubles. And they are obviously wicked people, bigots who said anti-Irish things and so on. And they also bear responsibility for this. So I would have no truck with racialism in any direction. But he really disgraced himself with that. Anyway, he said that England's got territorial ambitions over Ireland, again, citing no evidence whatsoever of such designs. Anyway, this is how he described me: a subversive agent of a foreign power who is here to undermine Irish sovereignty and whichever organization he's working for. Okay, close quotation. With no evidence whatsoever that I'm working for them. I mean, I wish I was paid. Okay, yeah. Thanks, King Charles. Thanks for all the money. Wow. Does it look like I have an excellent camera and sound recording system? Does this look like I live in luxury? Yeah, right. So I'm obviously so well paid. I mean, the UK with the economy versus £2.2 billion a year, But they're obviously paying me so handsomely because it's so effective, my verbiage. Anyway, yeah, I really pose a grave threat to Irish sovereignty. But actually, we don't actually have Irish sovereignty because we've ceded all to the European Union. Now, being the European Union, it might be magnificent, it might be terrible, but even if it is fabulous, a Republic of Ireland is not an independent country. No EU member state is a member country. Has to follow the directives from Brussels and so on. And the regulations, even if every single person in the Republic of Ireland voted against something, that European Union regulation would still be law. Okay, so he talked about psychological warfare. Wow. Speaking of psychological warfare, wow, it must be very effective. A Republican say their bit, fine. I vehemently disagree with them. I would never question that their right to do so. And he allies England and the UK, another example of stupidity and ignorance. So he makes all these preposterous contentions, all these evidenceless propositions about England trying to take over Ireland and so on. Anyway, but as the late Christopher Hitchens said, that which can be asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. He claims I'm saying that the United Kingdom is superior. I don't think he ever did say that. Now, there are impressive and attractive things about the United Kingdom, and I know that's a mere matter of opinion. So he says that I claim that the UK is morally superior to Ireland. I mean, when did I say that, actually? I don't remember ever saying that. But if we're going to talk about, obviously, not just the state, the people, the Irish and the British, it's very, very difficult to distinguish between us. Because if people ask if I'm British, I'll say, yes, I come from Cork. Now, I'm British precisely because I'm Irish. But now I realize that nobody else in Cork says that. But anyway, I've done all sorts of videos about why the Irish are British. And I realize most people in Ireland are not British citizens and actually not even entitled to it anymore, unfortunately. But most otherwise, ethnically, culturally, British and so on. And now I know the new Irish ethnic minority people, Irish citizens of Nigerian or Chinese stock for so on, I realize they're not ethnically, culturally British. And yet again, as I said, I completely accept that they have the absolute right to be in Ireland and want total equality for them. But I recognize the Republic of Ireland, we are superior in some ways by various metrics to the United Kingdom. Economically superior, you know, we're richer, we've had sounder economic policies for decades, educationally superior and so on. Now DT actually says we're uncivilized. If I said that, that would he probably have said that was a racialist thing to say. But civilization is relative, it's certainly not binary. Did we have a lower level of civilization? I mean, at some periods we didn't build many tall buildings or something like that. We're not very technologically or scientifically advanced. We're just unlucky with our lack of natural resources in terms of coal and metal and so on. As I point out, I agree with DT on some of our magnificent and glorious accomplishments down the centuries. For example, building the British Empire, which is proportionally more Irish than English. And he talks about people of my ilk saying they want to exalt their own belief system. Well, no shit, Sherlock. Everyone does that. Yeah, I say things because I believe them. I don't go around saying, oh, yeah, my beliefs are bad and false. He does the same, doesn't he? Who degrades his own belief system? Anyway, he says we have no freedom of speech in the 1937 Constitution, and it's all about Catholicism. But wait a second, does he not know that in 1971, that clause about the special position of the Catholic Church was deleted? Moreover, we signed up to the European Convention on Human Rights in the 1950s, which enshrines freedom of expression and freedom of conscience. And I'm exercising those rights. I would be fascinated to hear his take on the European Union. So he talked about genocides. Well, again, I mean, that's a lie again. But yes, there was fighting because the English army came to Ireland. Maybe it was more of a Norman army, like 1171. And sometimes civilians are killed, sometimes deliberately. And there were massacres. I won't just talk about the well-known ones. There's the Dersey Island massacre in West Cork in the 1640s. Very few people know that. Really disgraceful, an outrageous atrocity committed by English troops. And I'm not Anglophobic, I'm not blaming all English people now or even then, but that is true. That was a war crime. Obviously, there were crimes against some of the English civilians in Ireland as well, and two wrongs don't make a right. But to say that there was some sort of effort to wipe us out is bogus. There was no Geneva Convention back then, no Hague Convention. These were dark and barbaric times. These evil people who came from Great Britain to Ireland. And who are they now? oh yeah, they're the Irish. Because if they stayed in Ireland, they're Irish now. So why on earth would you blame people in England centuries later who didn't do it? And it's actually whose ascendants didn't do it. Anyway, and these evil English invaders, they're DT's ancestors, probably some of mine. I mean, I probably have a bit of Anglo-Norman ancestry in the Middle Ages. I'm not certain. But if you could prove it one way or the other, it makes zero difference to my views. If I'm 100% Gaelic, if I'm totally English or something like that in my ancestry, one way or the other, I don't care. And another point is always aligning Irish with Gaelic. I know the language Irish, Gaeilge, we say that's the language of Ireland, but that is not the original language of Ireland. There were several other Celtic languages prior to that, you know, large, well, completely forgotten. I think they were never even written down. One of the examples of our genius is we invented our own alphabet, the Ogham script, which very few countries have done before we had the Latin script. But anyway, so let's not imagine that the Gaels are all there is to Ireland, the only thing that's authentically Irish. No, that's bogus. And he said that the famine was natural, claiming that was a genocide. Great Britain sent food and money, and they saved many of us. Obviously, didn't save enough of us. At least 800,000 of us died in that famine. Anyway, he claims that GB banned our language, which obviously is a lie. Now, right, I know there was the Statute of Kilkenny, but obviously it forbade it in the Englishry, not the Irishry, and that was in abeyance very soon. Obviously, it should never have been done. But after that, you could speak Irish anywhere. All right, people didn't speak Irish very much, certainly in Eastern Ireland, had the right to do so. And the Church of Ireland would evangelize the Irish language. And the Viceroy in the late 18th century even promoted the Irish language, found the Irish Society. So again, it's a flagrant lie to claim that there was some sort of attempt to deprive us of our language or lobotomize us culturally to take away our collective individuality. There was another, a lie that we were conscripted to fight in England's wars. Well, we never had any conscription in Ireland, only ever volunteered. Tears. He said these wars were not little to do with Ireland, which I think is often true. Well, it's about the First World War, Second World War. They weren't that much to do with England either. I mean, England could just have ignored the invasion of Belgium, could have ignored the invasion of Poland. And I don't know why he's complaining about the First World War. For an Irish Republic, it was magnificent. Without the First World War, there would be no Easter Rising. There would be no troubled times after 1919. There would be no independence for the major portion of Ireland. And as for these wars not being connected to us, once they began, did the enemies of the United Kingdom not kill Irish soldiers and civilians? I think you'll find they did, even bombing the south of Ireland during the Second World War, the Luftwaffe, even killing, destroying Irish merchant ships. Anyway, but you know, if he's so Irish, why does DT not do this video in Irish? Is it because he can't speak it properly? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so he's speaking up for Justin Barrett, that anti-Semitic wacko, these conspiracy theories. And I noticed there were certain resonances between anti-Semitic tropes, and this absolute twaddly was coming out against me, that there's some big conspiracy and he's paid to do this, to take away our nationality. And why is he so threatened? I mean, unionists don't even contest elections in the Republic of Ireland. Does he really think the Republic of Ireland is going to rejoin the UK anytime soon, or there's a significant chance of it? I mean, that is just ludicrous. So and there's no reason to believe that there's a puppet government in the Republic of Ireland. That's the government elected by the people. And, you know, and if it's also unfair, how come Sinn Féin does so well with like 32% of the vote or whatever it is, probably going to win next time? And if Great Britain is really controlling Ireland, why were there no Irish soldiers sent to Iraq? No Irish soldiers sent to Afghanistan? Why does Ireland not give any money to Great Britain? What is this evidence of control? I mean, it's ludicrous. The Republic of Ireland did not want Brexit to happen. It happened anyway. And Dublin pushed quite a hard line over an open border for trade and actually got what it wanted. Anyway, so there's lower corporation tax in the Republic of Ireland than in the United Kingdom, which is another example of how clever we are. Really good economic policy. And that has actually hurt the United Kingdom, with companies leaving the UK, shifting to the Irish Republic. Anyway, so his anti-immigration says it ruins Ireland. Well, I mean, I don't agree. I don't think we have a dangerous level of immigration. All countries have always had immigration, shall always have immigration, but I realise it should be kept to reasonable limits. And that they all seem to embrace Irish nationalism, these new Irish people. So he says Great Britain is the enemy. The British Army hasn't killed a single person in Northern Ireland or anywhere in Ireland since 1993. Where and the Royal Ulster Constabulary, or PSNI as it is now, The Republicans have killed many in that time, not just the Omar bomb, people they accused of being drug dealers. They've killed over 100 people since 1993. So the real threat to Ireland is the Republican movement, not the Crown forces. There are Irishmen in the British Army because they volunteer. So Ireland accepts partition. Has he heard of the Good Friday Agreement, which 85% of Irish people voted for? Most of those who voted against were unionists. Anyway, think of that marvelous welcome for Her Britannic Majesty when she visited a few years ago. This is just Anglophobia, racialism, and it's articulatory of the most repulsive and nauseating bigotry. Anyway, thank you for watching this channel. You may have needed a strong stomach to watch that video. So please donate on PayPal. And George Callahan 79 @gmail.com. And get on to Patreon and see thousands of videos and articles behind the paywall. Goodbye.